I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. Lindsay Goldwert, author of Bow Down, Lessons from Dominatrixes on How to Get Everything You Want.
You're listening to So Money with award-winning money guru Farnoosh Torabi. Each day, get a 30-minute dose of financial inspiration from the world's top business minds, authors, influencers, and from Farnoosh herself. Looking for ways to save on gas or double your double coupons? Sorry, you're in the wrong place. Seeking profound ways to live a richer, happier life? Welcome to So Money.
I never thought to myself, I want to feel empowered. I literally want to walk into a room. I want to throw my bag down on the table and I want to turn to a room full of men and I want to say, what you're doing is terrible and you're going to listen to me. Listen up, assholes. Things are going to change around here. That's like my 80s movie fantasy.
Imagine just for a moment a world where the usual power dynamic is turned on its head, where women not only stop apologizing, but seize and enjoy their control. This is the quickly mainstreaming world of BDSM, bondage, discipline, sadism, masochism, and it has a lot to teach women about empowerment, negotiation, open-mindedness, and more, according to my guest today, Lindsay Goldwert, who is a popular podcaster and personal finance expert and stand-up comedian. She has traveled across the United States to meet the stars of this subculture who spoke frankly with her about their lives and their work. In Bow Down, Lindsay's book, these alpha women show you how you can reset the power dynamic in any situation to get what you want, whether it's from your partner, your boss. They share strategies for revolutionizing not only your sex life, but your career, your relationships, and your money. Here's Lindsay Goldwert. Lindsay Goldwert, welcome to So Money and congrats on your new book, Bow Down, Lessons from Dominatrixes on How to Get Everything You Want. Well, 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 aren't we going to have a good conversation today? Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So interesting. And I cannot wait to learn more about your background. Listeners, just so you know, I learned about Lindsay on Twitter. I follow some really cool people on Twitter, and I consider you, Lindsay, one of the funniest people I follow on Twitter who also has great insights and keeps me learning along the way, but you make it fun. You definitely do. Your background's personal finance in the sense that that's a lot of what your career has been about. You worked at Stash. I think you have a podcast and a very popular one at that. And then you have now this book, which I'm not really sure, does it have anything to do with money? Is it how do I get everything I want in my financial life or just in general?
So it's in general, but as I've been working on promoting the book, I've been and thinking about the book, there are a lot of tie-ins with money for sure. So the book itself is called Bow Down, Lessons from Dominatrixes on How to Get Everything You Want. And initially the idea was that it was going to be a business book. I had this idea that, oh, I'm going to ask these women about how to speak with authority and how to negotiate and how to, you know, get, you know, men to grovel at my feet when I walk into a conference room. And there's some of that is in there for sure. But the women I ended up speaking to were so different than what I thought they were going to be. They ended up, they were so kind and nice and empathetic and generous, and they didn't have answers for me. They had some techniques and they had some philosophies, but really, the book ended up being more about how to be confident in yourself, how to project your best self, how you should not apologize for certain things, how there's no such thing. How, when I started writing the book, women asked me, ask the Doms how I cannot feel like a bitch for asking for what I want at work. And so many women asked me that, like women I used to work with who have very, very executive positions. And I, that was a question I asked the Doms, and they all had really interesting, great insights into it. So it was a book about power. It's using the lens of BDSM, you know, consent, negotiation, boundaries, safe words, and how you can use those in your regular life to get what you deserve and to ask for what you want. So there's a lot of ways that you could talk about your money.
Yeah. Well, we'd rather talk about sex than money half the time.
They're my two favorite topics.
Yeah. We'd rather, and this is a perfect combination of that. Yeah. Where were you when you got the idea for this book? I always ask authors with, especially authors that have really interesting theses or book ideas, like, okay, where did you come up with it? Well, where were you with this aha moment? Were you in the shower?
I am always in the shower. No, I mean, I was thinking about pitching a personal finance book, and I couldn't think of anything that really interested me. There's so many incredible personal finance writers out there, present company included, and I'm not a CFP. I couldn't think of something that would be funny, that I couldn't think of what I could say that would be different. And I've always had an interest in interesting people. I believe that I've always been very interested in sex and different kinds of cultures. And I've just always wanted to hang out with dominatrixes. I've always been kind of obsessed with the icon of the dominatrix. I just thought, you know, it was almost like a joke. Like, wouldn't it be great to ask a dominatrix, you know, how to negotiate your raise? And that's literally what it came
from. What did
from.
She say? What is the dominatrix advice for raising your income?
You know, I think the book was interesting because no one had an actual answer. You know, the different people, but they, one thing you need to do is you need to have the confidence of data behind you. You know, don't come in with how you feel and all the things you think you don't deserve. Just you come in with your job description, and you tell them what you've done, and you tell them the other work you've taken on, and you show your progress over time, and you let that be, and you put that forth, because that you can't argue with that. So it's nothing to do with your feelings about how you were raised, how your math teacher was mean to you. You have to try to put all that behind you and just let your performance speak for itself. And that's how you ask for a raise.
How did you connect with these dominatrixes? I assume it's sort of like you find a couple and then they refer you, but how did you kind of get into this world as a reporter?
So that's exactly what happened. I reached out to, I signed up to take a workshop with this dominatrix. Her name is Simone Justice, and she ended up not being able to have the workshop, but I reached out to her and I said, hey, I signed up for your class. I didn't get a chance to meet you, but I'm writing this book about the philosophy of BDSM and the philosophy of dominatrixes and how to get what you want and with confidence and authority. And she was a little reticent to talk to me at first. I don't think a lot of sex workers and professional dominatrixes have had very good experience with the press, but I really just threw myself at her mercy, and I just swore up and down that it was going to be treated with so much respect and so much love, and that I was writing this book not just for readers, but also for myself. I also wanted to know how I could be a better advocate for myself. I wanted to know what it'd be like to walk into a room and say, listen up, fellas, you know, like, you're going to listen to me, you know,
so I'm in charge
because people talk about empowerment, but I'm not interested in empowerment. I just want power. So so she said, well, I will help you get into DomCon. She got me a press pass to DomCon, a dominatrix convention. It happens twice a year. And that was one of the most amazing experiences I've ever had. I got to sit in the back of the room and sit in on all these workshops that these Doms put on for each other. A lot of it was about finances. A lot of it was about marketing. A lot of it was about mental health. It was just about, it was like any other industry convention, skill sharing. But I learned a lot about I saw a lot of parallels between what they do and the life of a freelancer. And I also saw how our lives are not similar and how they have a lot more challenges than I have. And it was just a very, and I just met them and I just, you just have to be real as a reporter. You just have to be kind, gracious, but also a little relentless. And if someone says no, say, well, who else can I talk to? Who else can I talk to? But I really took a lot of care to be as respectful as I could be and to really, you know, prove to them that I was worth talking to.
Something you just said, I wrote down because it really kind of stopped me in my tracks and it kind of has unleashed this train of thought that I want to explore. I want to go down this, I want to explore this with you because I think this is really interesting. So you said, I don't want empowerment, I want power. I think this is such an interesting conversation to have because so much of the financial literacy conversation, especially when it is catering to women and for women, you know, we have to be very careful about the word choices that we use because I know for a fact that like when I tell a woman that she should strive to be more powerful or that money is power, like sometimes it doesn't like resonate. We soften the tone. We say empowerment because we think of power as like the white male power and, you know, the rich greedy guy in the ivory tower. And we don't think of it necessarily in a positive light. I want to ask you, what, first of all, you think about a lot of the conversations that are happening right now with regards to women and financial empowerment as it is. And do you think it's working? And do you think that there are improvements that we need to be making as far as how we're communicating all of this? Because it's important, you know, at the end of the day, I don't care how it's being communicated. Honestly, I want the results, right? So whatever speaks to you, but you made a very interesting distinction and I want to kind of ask you more about that. Do you have like deep thoughts about this?
Oh yeah. In a big way. So, I have, I thought about in one of the chapters of the book, there's a chapter about dressing for power. And I actually worked with this amazing latex designer, on this chapter. She designs costumes she's done some stuff for Beyonce, for Lady Gaga. She did a lot of the latex costumes for Pose. And we talked a lot about dressing for power. And I started thinking about my power fantasy. If you really just let yourself think about what you really want, there's like really just go into your base desires. And I never thought to myself, I want to feel empowered. I literally want to walk into a room. I want to throw my bag down on the table and I want to turn to a room full of men. And I want to say, what you're doing is terrible. And you're going to listen to me. Listen up, assholes. Things are going to change around here. That's like my 80s movie fantasy. Okay. And it's very real to me. And I think the difference between empowerment, I just have trouble with that word because to me it's like yoga mats. Empowerment is, it's journal covers. It's not what no longer means what it's supposed to mean, in my opinion. It's become very watered down. You know, it used to mean something very political and now it can mean something, it's like something that you see on like a post-it. So for me, I that word has never meant anything to me, you know, because to me that seems like kind of a, I don't know. It's so nebulous. When I think of power, I think, I want what men have. Okay. I want that big dick energy for myself. I want to walk into your room. I want people to not be afraid, maybe a little afraid of me. I do. And I think about.
So it's not lean in for you. It's like, be afraid. Be feared.
I think at one point I say in the book, it's like, you know, I say I was tired of being told to lean in. I want to tell people to fuck off, you know, and I want. That's what I want.
It's kind of like what my co-founder in She Stacks, Kendra, I'm like, I don't want equality. I want retribution.
Oh, 100%. And I don't think there's any, I just think that we're lying to ourselves when we say we don't want, like when it's so funny when you said like, oh, a greedy man that walks into a greedy white dude. It's like, I want what that, like I want that. Why does he get that for himself? I want that.
Why do you think it's so hard for us to shout that from the rooftops? We often have difficulty, everything from believing that we're worth it, talking about money, and feeling like it's okay to want money, to want to make more money. Like there's this ickiness that's associated with it. And where does that come from?
You know, I mean, that's literally what the whole book is about, is literally about like, why do we have so much trouble asking for what we want, you know, whether it's money or intimacy or, you know, kindness from our friends? Why do we have trouble saying, I want? That's what the whole book is about. It's like, why can't I say I want? And there's a million reasons why. There's, you know, it depends how you were raised. Sometimes, you know, we're sort of raised to be a little bit more pleasing. You know, we want the other person to think we're nice. You know, we try so hard to play nice with other people, you know, and there's a million reasons why we get pushed back on the back foot when we try to ask for what we want. And if you're the only woman in a room, it is so hard to just let it hang there, to say, I need you people to do this, and just let it hang there. That's hard, you know, and to feel alone. But that is the hottest thing in the world. I think connecting sexual power with financial power is pretty interesting too. Like, it is hot when you walk into your room and you say, this is what's going to happen. It's hot. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And I think, and you don't have to, and men know that for themselves. They are getting off on a power trip. And I don't know, there's something very visceral about power that it goes into, like, why do we love superhero movies? Why are we obsessed with, you know, super villainesses? Why are we obsessed with true crime? You know, we all have this within ourselves. You know, we all contain these very passionate multitudes. And I think to water it down, to say, I want to feel empowered, it's like, no, you want people to listen to what you have to say. You want people to give you what you deserve. And you need to have that energy to say, like, actually, no, you're not going to rip me off. Actually, no, you're not going to give me something to sign where I haven't read it yet. Like, actually, no, like, I'm going to think about this before I sign it. These are all things that say, I deserve it. Like, you're not going to pull one over on me because I'm worth it. I deserve it. I deserve this extra time. And who are you to, you know, and this is all, I don't know. And this, I don't know if I was just inspired by the Doms, you know, or inspired by a lot of behaviors that men do.
Yes.
That I'm like, why do they get to do that? Why can't I do that? And the reason, there is no reason I can't do it. I just have to train myself to do it.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Did you know that I'm a podcast host and also a mind reader? Because I know that you want to grow your portfolio, to deal with the rising costs of inflation, to pay off your debt or your mortgage. You want to attack pretty much anything standing in the way of you and your financial freedom, right? Well, here's one solution: more knowledge. This podcast helps, I hope. And you can use Yahoo Finance, where you can get access to the news, data, and tools that you need to help reach your definition of financial freedom. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. They're the number one finance destination, and I know because I worked there for many years, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, customizable charts, so much more. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com. For the longest time, I dreaded buying bras. It was like shopping for jeans. Impossible. You want a bra that's sexy? You want a bra that's comfortable? You can't have both. Well, now you can, thanks to Third Love. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, the ick, the ugh, out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem or brablem. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school. Get smoothing, you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made with premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a AA cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with the code PODCAST15. The weather's getting warmer as I record. It's a nice 73 degrees on the East Coast. So finally, time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and, fingers crossed, hello to shorts and tees. And I need to update my wardrobe for the long haul. And, you know, I don't want to spend a fortune. So luckily, I found Quince. I'm honest. I've got a lineup of timeless pieces from Quince that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm talking premium European linen dresses, blouses and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and tons more. Best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. I have t-shirts from Quince, pajamas from Quince. My very chic and fashionable sister-in-law, Hannah, her whole closet is Quince. And people often stop us and ask, where did you get this? Don't tell me the price. And then when I do, they're shopping on Quince.com. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to Quince.com/somoney for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince.com/somoney to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/somoney.
I think with the doms versus like everyday life, when you're a dom and you're in that world, there is an expectation that you can behave like that and you will receive. But in the real world, women behave like this and we're punished a lot of the times. It's not just our inner voices, like literally the other person, the other end of the negotiating table is like, who does she think she is? That's actually what happens a lot of the times. So how do you combat that? Because in the real world, there is no role playing in the sense that within the dom world, like everyone knows their role. I can be powerful and demanding as a dominatrix, and the other partner is going to kind of like expect that. That's the expectation. But in the real world, not so much. So how do we reconcile that?
So I think that's a really good question. You know, I think taking on this sort of alpha role and like being sort of like the dom of your office, it never means being cruel. It never means being insensitive. It doesn't mean being demanding or bossy. All these things are nobody wants an unreasonable, shitty boss. You know, the question is being in control of what you do every day, using data to back up all your accomplishments, knowing that your team feels safe reporting to you, that you're a good boss and you keep things running smoothly. These are the things that people want to be controlled. And it's not, it doesn't have to be in a bad way. What do we all want from a great manager? Someone who can tell us what we need, can keep things moving in a smooth way, but we can rely on them and we understand a chain of command. That's what everybody wants in a manager. You know, they don't want someone that's, and that makes you a good manager, not the fact that you're like an authoritarian. Like a bad boss is a bad boss, you know? And I think that saying, and a boss is a boss, I'm very anti like girl boss or bitch boss. I think all that stuff just genders you. Like just be a boss. Just own what you do in the workplace. Just be, you know, just take control. Your team needs you. And when you are out, you are not replaceable. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's the difference is that people think that has nothing to do with, and also men role play all the time with all that Harvard Business Review, like code switching, everyone's role playing and playing games anyway. So it's not just, so it's all BS. There's a lot of, if you took my book and put it up against a Harvard Review business book, I bet you could find a lot of parallels, to be honest.
Yes. You know? So, my friend is actually researching phone sex operators and yes. Like is actually role-playing as that to kind of understand how to apply some of those skills into business. And she's learning a lot, probably about just not just business, but herself along the way.
Sure.
What did you learn about yourself?
Oh my God, so much. I quit my job in February to write this book, which was really scary. That's not the world's greatest financial decision, but it was something I really wanted to do. I was at a phase in my life where I felt there was a time to write a book that it was something I've always wanted to do. I was in a really funny place in my life. I said I was mid-marriage. Been with my husband for like 15 years. And I was mid-career. I'm 40. And I just had to take a break and figure out like who I was and to just take that time. And when I was interviewing these women initially, as I said, it was going to be sort of a business book. And there is some business stuff in the book for sure. But the more I talked to them, the more I just was asking them questions about myself, about questions I had, like, how do you keep communication in a marriage working after a long time? How do you advocate for your own ideas when you secretly you think of yourself as like that 11th grader that your teacher said was dumb. You know, how do you, how do you dress yourself when
your teacher told you were dumb?
I had some very mean teachers. How do you like dress yourself when, you know, you really have no clue what your body really like looks like or feel like, where you know, all these things where you get your, how do you cope with yourself and how do you know how you've changed? The idea of like, you're not the same person at 40 as you were when you were 20. Well, how have you changed and how can you honor the person who you are now? And these are the questions I was asking. And this is what the book ended up becoming was this, is the book is about evolution and using these tenets of BDSM, also figuring out who I was sexually. That's definitely part of it too. You know, I mean, sex is one of my favorite topics. Sex education is very important to me. And it was just interesting using sex as a lens to talk about everything else. It made a lot of sense to me. But all the ways I let people kind of walk all over me and how I didn't let myself be heard and all the ways I did things in life, you know, in a lot of ways to please the other person. And I would just be kind of sulk or be passive aggressive about it. And the book is also about extreme communication, to be kind, honest, and direct. And sometimes we have to start the conversation first. And that's something the book helped me with enormously was, you know, was being the one that has to start the, because if the other person doesn't have the words, you have to be the one that has the words. And it's not fun to be that person, in a marriage or in a friendship, but
it's what saves marriages ultimately.
It does.
Is your voice.
Is your voice.
You, are a stand-up comedian, which I also admire in you. And I have to ask, how much is this inspiring your jokes on stage? Are you, what do you like to talk about on stage are there themes? What do you pull from life?
So I haven't done stand-up in a little while, but I'm trying to think about ways that I can take this book on the road and combine it with a little bit of comedy too, because, you know, sex, money, and comedy, it's all this, to me, it's all fodder for laughter and pain.
Yes. You
know, it's all everyone's favorite topic.
If we're not laughing, we're crying.
It's all the same. It's all the same feeling to me. But I found that people said, oh, it must have been so crazy going to all these dungeons and meeting all these crazy people. It must have felt so strange to you. And it didn't. You know, the kink community felt a lot like the comedy community. You know, there were a lot of cliques and people had their own idea of what comedy is. People have their own idea of what kink is. You know, people are very into, you know, people can get very hung up, you know, in the same way. Some people are very laid back and they have their own vision. Some people think they're artists. It's all very interesting. And in the end, just like comedy, you have to forge your own way and you have to kind of let go of labels and figure out how to be your best self, put your best vision of your comedy and your sense of humor and your authenticity out in the world. You know, the same thing is true with kink too. Like your kink is not going to be like anyone else's. And if you try to, and the more you limit yourself, the more you may be. But some people also want to just be into what they're into. But I think I prefer to hang out with people that are not boring. That's my life goal. It's a, you know, I'm not interested in talking to CEOs about winning. I'm interested in talking to comedians about losing because I think the lessons from them are more valuable and funnier and interesting. On my podcast is called Spent.
Yes.
And
tell us about that.
Yes. I just brought it back. But I started in 2016 and 2017. And I interviewed comedians and some economists and some journalists about their biggest financial mistakes. And the comedians were the best guests because they have no filter and they are not afraid to talk about their financial mistakes, which are not different, that different from a lot of our financial mistakes. They just might be a little more grandly told, a little
right.
more, you know, but they were all stories about medical, you know, not being able to pay their medical bills, about taking a financial risk that probably, you know, on their credit cards. One of my guests was one of my favorite episodes, talked about how he got involved in white collar crime. Another one made a lot of money when he was young and never paid taxes on it. So these are all stories that are amazing stories because these people are amazing storytellers and they're funny, but people would listen to these stories and they would laugh and they'd also feel a little bit better. First of all, you know, you're not that guy. And also because these stories are very universal. And I think that I'm a big believer. I just don't like stories about people who just win all the time. I don't believe that.
I think with comedians and other people who work in entertainment and celebrities, there's so many directions you can go and there's so much depth to how they got to be where they are and how much they're making. Because I mean, everything from like what you just described to then I was on an event and Steve Harvey was on stage talking about how he had really made it at one point. You think of him now as like always having made it, but he had so many ups and downs. And there was this one point in his career, he was doing really well. He said he was making $10 million a year just on this one show. And his accountant was embezzling, and wasn't depositing his checks. Like, he was depositing his checks to himself and not sending that to the IRS or whatever he was doing. And so basically for years, Steve was not paying the IRS unbeknownst to him. And now, had he been checking his bank account, maybe he would have been like, did it actually go through? Because I don't, you know, but I guess how would he know? He was writing the checks and then he just never saw them again.
Because people, I mean, that's true for one of my favorite comedians. Her name is Maria Bamford. She's my absolute favorite comedian. She talks a lot about that, because when you're afraid of your money, when you pay someone to deal with it because you don't want to deal with it, you're an artist, it's just not your thing. You were told it's not your thing. I can relate to this very much. She had a manager who also embezzled money from her, and she was so ashamed of herself. She was so embarrassed. Aww. She felt so stupid. Like, people, you blame yourself.
Yeah.
But she now talks a little bit more about that and that experience, so people can just not be so terrified of their money. And especially if you are an artist, you know, if I could do anything, it would be, you know, talking about, you know, personal finance for liberal arts majors. You know, like, we think of ourselves as not being math people or not being, you know, like, oh, like, I'll pay someone to do that for me, you know, because I can just create my art. And it is intimidating to put on those two hats for yourself. But people, you have to know that if someone says to you, like, oh, you don't need to worry about that, that you should probably worry.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing. But we want people to say, we want people to take care of us. We want someone to say, you don't have to worry about that. There's nothing wrong with feeling relieved when someone says that to you. But you have to take that extra step and say, yeah, and I want that too, but let me just take a look once in a while. I know it, but I just don't want people to feel like there's anything wrong with wanting to be taken care of, but you also have to know that you might not be actually getting taken care of.
Right.
And people will take advantage of you, of that desire of you wanting to be taken care of by, and that's really hard too, because I am in my own way kind of an innocent, and I can't imagine taking advantage of another person like that, especially an artist. But that's a great story. And Steve Harvey sharing that story is huge.
Yeah. And how he went on to rebuild his career, like, basically had to, over the course of many years, like, pay back $20 million or whatever.
Oh my God.
Yes. It was not easy. So much more respect for him now, knowing, like, I know now why he's the hardest working person they say in show business, because he's lost everything.
He has to be.
It's happened to him twice. He's like been poor, broke twice in his life. He's even after experiencing wealth. So it's 2020. I don't know if you set resolutions, but, you know, as we look ahead, our sponsor Chase is actually curious to know if you're looking to any financial goals in the new year. Do you have anything you want to accomplish?
Yes, definitely. So my financial goal, so I have my first LLC, which is very exciting. So yeah, that was interesting for me to think that I was worth setting up my own company. I had a lot of internal battles
really?
With that.
You know,
what will this company be? Oh my.
What totally. Would a Dom do?
You know, Doms are dressed like you and me. They have the same internal struggles. But I just said to myself, this is the goal I want to accomplish. I need to, you know, if I need to set up an LLC, so for legal reasons, to protect myself, it's not that hard. And people do it every day. Like I had to give myself like a pep talk. People set up LLCs every day. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. Just do it. So I had to Dom myself, you know. So I want to, my financial goal for the year is just keep that going and just keep it solvent. It's also to literally be more organized with my finances, to just stay on top of it and to not have that feeling of, well, let someone else do it for me. It's like, no, I have to do it for me, even though I don't want to. It's like eating my vegetables. No, I have to do it. So that's my financial goal. And my financial goal also is just be able to keep promoting the book and keep figuring out what I want to do and say and travel and promote and be this advocate for, you know, sex education and financial literacy and for power versus empowerment. For the rest of the year, it's not easy to quit a full-time job. You know, it's not easy to say goodbye to a steady income. to take a risk on the things you want to do in life. I have a lot of dreams and passions. I want to write a novel. You know, I just have a lot of adventure in my heart, and I'm just like, you can't have everything, you can't buy everything, you can't do everything, but I want to. So I'm trying to. So and there's nothing wrong with wanting things.
Well, I just came out of a coffee with my good friend Susie Moore, who is one of the most confident people I know, and she said to me, Farnoosh, lean into your joy. Lean into 100%. Your joy. And I was like, I'm gonna put that on a piece of cardboard paper and put that up on my new house when I move in. I'll put on something fancier. Wanted to share that with you, as it sounds like you're already aware of that and doing that. But
yes, you know, it's one thing to lean into it, but it's another thing, you have to also have to get your bills paid, for sure. So I'm trying to find that ratio between getting bills paid and also, like, you really do only live once. And that was the other thing, is writing this book really helped me figure out the things that interest me, the things that I'm good at. Also figuring out what I want to do versus what I can do was really important, because I can do a lot of jobs. But I'm at an age now where I don't have to just do the things I can do. And I'm confident enough to know that there are things that I want to do that I can do well because I'm really good at them, as opposed to like, well, I guess I could do that. You know, there's all these things can kind of push your confidence down when you start to lose faith in your abilities. You're like, well, maybe I could do this instead, or I can do that instead. It's like, no, this is what I'm good at. I'm good at talking about money in a relatable way. I'm good at listening to smart people elucidate financial concepts and then explaining them to liberal arts majors. I love talking about sex. I love talking about sex, and I love helping people feel comfortable in themselves. And I want people to, I like making people laugh. And if I can figure out a way to make some money doing it and bringing some happiness and joy to my life and theirs and having some good, dirty conversations while I'm doing it, then that's what I want out of this world.
Lindsay, thank you so much for coming on here and sharing all this great advice. And your energy is exactly what we need as we kick off a new decade. Oh, everything you said, I've been writing it down. So inspiring. And we look forward to seeing what's next for you.
Awesome. And you can find me on Twitter. It's Lindsay Goldwert, LindsayGoldwert on Twitter. And this was so great. You're a hero of mine, and I'm so honored to be here.
Oh my gosh. Well, it sounds like we have a lot of similar interests, and I would love to just grab a coffee and take this offline. And everybody, definitely follow Lindsay on Twitter. She's one of the funniest people on there, and you'll learn something along the way too. And your podcast is called Spent, and the book, again, tell us.
The book is called Bow Down: Lessons from Dominatrixes and How to Get Everything You Want. And Spent Podcast is available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. And there is a sex and money miniseries that I just put out in December that talks about, I talked to a porn star about her royalties, and I talked to two doms about marketing and building your brand. And I talked to a deconomist about risk, and I talked to a sex toy CEO about advertising. It's a really fun miniseries, and I hope you guys enjoy it.
Thanks, Lindsay. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
You can learn more about Lindsay on her website, spentpodcast.com, and you can connect with her on Twitter, like I mentioned, at Lindsay Goldwert. Definitely do that. All right, tonight's the night, everybody. Financial Bingo takes over the city. I am your host. It's my dream come true. Everybody who's joining me at Luminary tonight, can't wait to see you all. If this goes well, hope it does, there will be many more financial bingo nights. And if I have anything to say about it, it is going to be drag financial bingo. Did you know that drag bingo is a thing? It is amazing. I've gone to one of these events with my friends in the city, had a blast, and I thought, let's maybe mix this up and do like drag financial bingo. It's just an evening of drag, learning about money, connecting with your friends, having a blast, and winning some cool prizes. So that's hopefully what 2020 has in store for all of us. But tonight is the night. It's our test run of financial bingo at Luminary, and I'm looking forward to it. Thanks for everybody who signed up. And I'll be sure to tell you how it goes. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. I hope your day is so money.
Hope. hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person, contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.